Morning. Blessed by the songs and what was shared already. This morning I'd like to title of my message is what is my response to God in my life and how does that affect my life and just some different questions that we can ask. First, I'd like to begin with a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you that we can come here together this morning and look into your word. And know you call us to come together to not neglect the coming together of ourselves, but to come together and to honor you and just pray that our lives would do that this morning and we have open hearts to hear your word and just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, title is What is My Response to God in My Life? And I'd like to make 4 points from that. The first point is this is a positive side of it, is opening the doors to God. And then point two is acknowledging sin. Point three is sanctifying through Jesus. And then point four is thanksgiving. So, I'd like to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 29, read verses 1 and 2 to start here. It says, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abihah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father had done. So we know that everybody's life has a beginning, it has an end. Here we see the beginning of Hezekiah's reign. He was 25 years old. It says that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Now we see an interesting phrase because it says, according to all that David his father had done. Now, David wasn't his immediate father, but it says that because David had a legacy of serving the Lord. And we know that if we went back through his ancestors there, David was in there, and he was an example of serving the Lord. So I'd like to look at a little bit of what Hezekiah had to start with. What happened before Hezekiah began to reign? We see in Chapter 28, verses 24 to 27, talking about Hezekiah's father. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. And he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem and in every several city of Judah. He made high places to burn incense unto other gods and provoked the anger Lord God of his fathers. Now the rest of his acts and all his ways, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Ahaz slept with his father, and they buried him in the city, even in Jerusalem, but they brought him not unto the sepulchres of the kings of Israel, and Hezekiah's son reigned in his stead. So we see that that was not somebody who honored the Lord. It wasn't somebody who sought the Lord in his life. Ahaz's response to the house of God shows his heart. So throughout the Old Testament, from all the way from when Solomon built the temple until the carrying away of the children to captivity, the children of Israel, we see different people responding to the house of God in different ways. And we see that he shut the doors to God in his life, and in every city he made place of the pagan worship. And then we see they were defeated on every side, and their country was really in a low state. So they were really in a bad spot because of his choices. And then we see that this is what Hezekiah had to start with. But he didn't follow in those steps. He had a vision of serving the Lord. And so can ask the question, what would Hezekiah do with the house of God? If we start reading in verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 29 there, like to read through verse 11. It says, he, in the first year of his reign, in the first months, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them, and he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves, sanctify the house of God of your house of the Lord God of your fathers. Carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place, for our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. Also they have shut up the doors of the porch, and have put out the lamps, and have not burned incense, nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was come upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he has delivered them to trouble and astonishment and hissing, as ye see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. Now, my sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. And in verse 12 it says, then the Levites arose. So, point one there, opening the doors to the house of the Lord, and repairing them, repairing the channel with which God wants to use to work in our lives. If it's broken down, we need to repair that, because until God's working, it's really not going to get anywhere, and it's going to go downhill really fast. And then in verse 5 there, we see a call to sanctity, getting rid of the filthiness. Quote from what the way that Simeon Shankster would put it is, taking the biggest thing that is keeping me from a closer walk with Jesus and getting rid of it, so not allowing it to stay there. And then point two is acknowledging sin. Verse 6, they acknowledge sin. I'd like to take that example and say that we need to acknowledge the sin that we've done. Here it was his father that had sinned, but I think we need to take that personally, take ownership of our own sin, and acknowledge the rebellion that we've had. Verse 7 says, they put out the lamp. They put out the lamps, and they didn't burn incense. They didn't offer burnt offerings. Don't put out the lamp, the light of Jesus in our lives. We need to keep it burning daily, and that's by offering ourselves daily to devotion to him. And we see in verse 9 that life of sin, it caught up to them. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. So, a life of sin always brings spiritual death, and sin brings captivity to our lives, so we can't even function the way we should be able to, the way God created us to. Hezekiah wanted his life in agreement with the Lord. Verse 10, it says that now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. So it is in his heart to make agreement with the Lord. What would we choose to make covenant with in our lives? We can either make a covenant with the Lord, which is a good good option, or we can make a covenant with the world, and we see where the world is going, and it's, we don't want to go there. We see 11, verse 11, it says, "Be not now negligent, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that you should minister unto him." So we see they were chosen to serve and chosen to minister. And then in verse 12, I read the first couple, the first line there in verse 12, "Then the Levites arose." So we see that they took action. They heard the call, and then they took action right away in their lives. And then point three is sanctifying through Jesus. If we go down to verse 15, I'll probably read 15 through the end of the chapter. It says, "And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to the cleanse the house of the Lord. And the priests went in to the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out and abroad into the brook of Kidron." Now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify, and on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days, and the 16th day of the first month they made an end. Then they went in to Hezekiah the king and said, "We have cleansed all the house of the Lord and the altar of burnt offerings with all the vessels thereof, and the shewbread table with all the vessels thereof. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz, in his reign, did cast away in his transgression, we have prepared and sanctified, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord." Then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. And they brought 7 bullocks, 7 rams, 7 lambs, and 7 he-goats for a sin offering for the kingdom, for the sanctuary, for Judah. And he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. So they killed the bullocks, and the priests received the blood and sprinkled it on the altar. Likewise, when they had killed the rams, they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. They killed also the lambs, and they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. And they brought forth the he-goats for a sin offering before the king and the congregation, and they laid their hands upon them. And the priests killed them, and they made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar, to make an atonement for all the Israel. For the king commanded that the burnt offerings and sin offerings should be made for all Israel. And he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals and psalteries and with harps, according to the commandment of David and of Gad the king's seer, Nathan the prophet, for so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophet. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets, and Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end of offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshipped. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. And Hezekiah answered and said, "Now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord, come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord." And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a free heart, burnt offerings. And the number of the burnt offerings which the congregation brought was 70 bullocks and 100 rams and 200 lambs. All these were for a burnt offering to the Lord. And the consecrated things were 600 oxen and 3,000 sheep. But the priests were too few, so that they could not flay all the burnt offerings wherefore their brethren the Levites did help them, till the work was ended and until the other priests had sanctified themselves, for the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. And also the burnt offerings were in abundance with the fat of the peace offerings and the drink offerings for every burnt offering. So the service of the Lord was set in order. And Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people, that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. So point three is sanctifying through Jesus. In verse 15, we see that they took sanctification seriously. They really begin sanctifying. They did it according to the words of the Lord. So if we do it God's way, that's the only way that it can happen in our lives. And verse 16, we see cleansing the temple of the Lord. It says that the priests went into the inner part of the house to cleanse it. And they brought out all the unclean things they found in the temple of the Lord. So bringing them out, bringing it out, and then in, and then it says that the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook of Kidron. So bringing things out of our lives and then casting it where it will wash away, they didn't want any chance of it coming back into the house of the Lord. So they, I don't know how big the brook of Kidron was, and maybe this is just my imagination, but I like to think of it washing away out of their lives. Jesus will wash away all uncleanness out of our lives too, if we take things to Him. I think we need to take things and we need to put it in a spot where we can't go back to it. It'll wash away, because it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. And it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we, if we're confessing and we're forsaking sin, Jesus can wash it away. Verse 17. It says, they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify, and on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So sanctification takes time. It took them only 8 days, which obviously our lives, it's a lifelong process of sanctification. But then it says later on in the verse that the 16th day of the first month they made an end. So it looks like they, there was an end to the sanctification of the temple. And I don't think we can take our lives and say we've come to an end of sanctification. But I do think we need to come to points in our lives where we're so open and surrendered to Jesus that the whole temple can be cleaned out. We know what sanctification is, a lifelong process, but let's not use that as an excuse to allow sin in our lives to be in our lives for even long periods of time. Because if we allow that, the devil has a foothold in our lives. In verse 21, it says, they brought 7 bullocks, 7 rams, 7 lambs, 7 he-goats, for a sin offering for the kingdom, for the sanctuary. Jesus is our sin offering, and He wants to be that for the church. He wants to be that for each of us together. And each of us personally. Then in verse 28, we see, "And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished." When cleansing happens, then we can worship. And we can try to worship before it's happened, but I think we can see that's not going to work. And I think we see that when we bring in a lot of drums, a lot of contemporary, we try to beat up the spirit, but if we haven't been cleansed, if we have that hasn't happened, we can't truly worship. And verse 30 says that the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praises unto the Lord with the words of David. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. Singing praises and gladness happened in worship. They had their hearts tuned toward God. And I just can't imagine how that would be after years of that not happening. Can imagine individuals experiencing that, and then when everybody comes together, that must have been really exciting to see everybody excited about Jesus, excited about God and his work. Point four is thanksgiving. So verse 31 says, "Then Hezekiah answered and said, Now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near, bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. The congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a free heart, burnt offerings." So we see that they brought thank offerings, I believe, when their country was still in a mess. If we were to read chapter 28, we'd see how bad things had gotten. But as they begin changing things in their lives, there's still hard things there. And that just reminds me that when I'm still in a hard time, I can bring thanksgiving to God. And then it says that as many as were of a free heart, burnt offerings. Are we experiencing a free heart in Jesus this morning? And if we are, we can give thanks. And it's really hard to give thanks when we're not experiencing that. They made their thanksgiving verbal too. I think if we're not careful, we can have a thankful heart, but let's make it verbal and so others can join. In verse 34, we see that there was so many burnt offerings, there was so many people bringing things that the priests were overwhelmed. And it says that the priests were too few. And I wonder if men of God are too few today. And it says that the Levites were more upright in heart. Will we live upright in heart so that we can help in God's work today? And verse 36 is a really neat verse. "And Hezekiah rejoiced in all the people that God had prepared the people for the thing was done suddenly." When God prepares a willing people, rejoicing will come naturally. When God prepares a willing people, rejoicing will come naturally. In Psalms 51, verses 3 and 4, it says, "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. This is what Israel, Psalms 51 is what Israel is experiencing in Hezekiah's day. And then verse 10 through 12 also, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. So, they acknowledged sin. They cleaned out the temple. They had the right spirit. They wanted to be in the presence of God. They opened the door to God. They opened the doors that had been closed for so long and let God's Spirit in their lives. And that's when God restored the joy of His salvation. So we see that throughout the chapter. So I wonder what the effects of see the effects of Hezekiah changing the pattern of history in Israel. And then as the people, like Psalms 51 says, they began that work in their lives. And then that is when God restored the joy of His salvation. So that's what I had to share here this morning. I want to have the right response to God in my life, and I think we each need to respond right to God's calling in our lives. So